In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Yesterday I spoke about that God, Jesus, left the church every gift so that she, the church, would use these gifts, be they tongues or prophecy or administration or discernment of spirits. Jesus left them to the church, the laying on of hands, bringing a healing to people. Today the gospel was heal the sick and cast out demons and heal lepers. That's what Jesus said. So he gave these gifts to the church, but many people in the church do not know that these gifts were given to the church. So what do? We say these things stopped with the last apostle, which is a lie. I'm telling you this, because we have not used these gifts for the upbuilding of the body of Christ, because we have not used these gifts for the upbuilding of the body of Christ, the New Age movement have come in because heaven abhors a vacuum. And the New Age movement has the laying on of hands with Reiki, you're connected to the devil. Are they into yoga, connected to another spirit? I'm telling you that because we have not used these gifts, the New Age movement has come in with the counterfeits. They are not of God. The Course of Miracles is about witchcraft. So I'm saying simple little things today. I'm talking about seeing and hearing. People have come to me and said, my pastor or my priest or my minister has said that God doesn't speak to us anymore. I said, what does Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. So your pastor is wrong, because God lets us hear his word if we are open to it. Oh, I remember drowning, and God spoke to me as I was drowning. He told me not to panic, and it was God's voice. It was not a thought. It was audible. And thank God a lifeguard came and rescued me. God speaks to his people through hearing and through seeing. I want to talk about some of the times I saw, because we're going to go into Revelation and John sees and John hears. If you do not see, what do we say? You're blind. If you do not hear, what do we say? You're deaf. But you see, God has given us spiritual ears and spiritual eyes to see and to hear. I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. I was praying with the lady for cancer. She had cancer of the stomach. And as I was praying, scour it out. I was praying, scour it out. That's all I could ever think of, but praying, scour it out. It sounded crazy. I'm thinking the lady must think I'm crazy, but I heard the word of God say, scour it out. I think I saw the Brillo pad, and I'm starting to pray, scour it out, scour it out, scour it out, scour it out. And we finished praying. You know, I didn't know what happened, but she went for her CAT scan, and the doctor said the cancer was gone. It looks like it was scoured out. You see, I saw the Brillo pad, and I knew what God was saying with this Brillo pad, to pray that it would be scoured out. Now, I don't do that to everybody. I don't do that to everybody. You know, I remember saying to a woman whose husband was a drunk, I remember praying with her that the next time he drank, he got deadly sick and would never drink again. Well, you know what? The next time he drank, he got deadly sick, and he never drank again. Now, I don't pray that for all drunks, because that's not what God tells me to do. You see, it's not one formula. It's listening to the Word of God. It's seeing and hearing. I told you so many times that I saw the Titanic sinking. And when that Titanic was sinking, I knew it was the income of the whole world was falling into the sea, that it was going to be a big depression. And I'm telling you, we owe $17.5 trillion to whoever. We are in debt, $17.5 trillion. It's only time before everything falls into the sea. So if you don't see, you're blind. If you don't hear, you're deaf. So I'm trying to tell you today, God wants you to see, and God wants you to hear. Now, John the Revelator, in verse 12 of the first chapter, I turned to see the voice. He turned to see the voice. So see and hear. That spoke with me. And as I turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. What are these candlesticks? Oh, well, he knows what they are. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, there was one like a son of man, clothed with the garment down to his foot, and girt about his chest with the golden girdle. John sees seven candlesticks, and he knows they are the seven churches of Asia. His head and his hair, the one in the middle of the candlesticks, were as white as wool, as white as the snow, and his eyes were as the flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice like the sound of many waters. How can John describe heavenly things with an earthly language? He does the best he can. He does the best he can. But you fall short of describing Jesus, because this is something that's heavenly. And we're looking at heavenly things with the eyes of earth, also with the eyes of faith. So let's continue. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun that shines with all of its strength. Now, who are these stars? The stars are the seven angels that guard the seven churches. And when I saw him, when I saw Jesus, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that lives, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Jesus took those keys from Satan when he went down into Sheol. The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks that you saw are the seven churches. Now, who is in the middle of the churches? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory. So with chapter 2, there's going to be a message to the church at Ephesus. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, These things says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, that's Jesus, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, that's Jesus. I know your works, I know your labor, I know your patience, I know that you cannot bear them which are evil, and you have tried them and say that they are apostles and they are not, and you have found them as liars. I know all these things. And and has borne with patience for my name's sake. You've labored and not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. Oh my! How many of us have left our first love? How many of us who really have been converted by the Lord have left our first love? Whenever I read this, I am convicted. Left your first love. You've left your first love. That's what I have against you. You see, they did all the works of God, which are true, but they had left the most important thing, which is the love of God, the love of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, I've told you before, in the resurrection, love draws Jesus. That's why he came to Mary Magdalene first, because she had her first love, and she was distraught that her Lord was crucified and dead, and the risen Lord shows himself to the one who has love. She didn't leave her first love. You know why? She was completely dependent upon Jesus Christ, because she had seven demons, and he delivered her of the seven demons. Seven is perfect number. She was perfectly possessed, but after she was delivered, she was at the feet of Jesus the Lord. And it says, remember therefore from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works. What's the first works? To love God first and foremost. Or else I will come unto you quickly, and I will remove the candlestick out of this place, unless you repent. Now let's think about that. This is to the Ephesians. If you don't turn to me and love me the way you did, I'm going to take the candlestick and blow it out. And you want to know what? If you go to Ephesus today, you find so many Muslims. Thank God the Orthodox Church is still there, but it isn't what it used to be. It used to be a Christian center where Jesus was glorified. But you see, even in the early church, people were into doing the works of God and not loving God. God wants us to love him first and then to do his works. I'm always saying that we are to do his works. We are to heal the sick, lay hands upon them. We are to pray in the language that he gives us. We are to prophesy. I believe all that. But God says, the first thing I want from you is your love. And then do what you need to do. Let me love you. I remember in Fiddler on the Roof, the Tevye says to his wife, do you love me? And she says, for 25 years I've washed your clothes. I fed you. I did everything for you. But he said, but do you love me? And finally she said, yes, I love you. You see, God cares about the works that we do. The works at Ephesus were very powerful, but they left their first love. How do we regain that? We make ourselves a time to pray. We make ourselves a time to pray. Now this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Oh yes, that tree of life, that the tree of life that is planted by the river of God, that yields fruit 12 times a year. If you are faithful, I will give you to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God, in the midst of heaven. The message to the church at Smyrna. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write these things, the first and the last, which was dead, that's Jesus, and is alive. I know your works, I know your tribulation, I know your poverty, but you are rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but they are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. So Jesus is warning them that they are going to be experiencing tribulation. Remember what he says in John 15. He says, in the world you will have tribulation, but know I have overcome the world. And he also tells them they're going to go to jail and maybe even die. So he says, be faithful unto death, that I will give you a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Look, I want to tell you to pray today for the people in Nigeria, the Christians in Nigeria, the Catholics in Nigeria. Sister Elizabeth has told me that they are killing priests and burning down churches. Jesus says to them, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. I'm telling you, we have no idea what it means to suffer tribulation. We in the United States have no idea yet what it means to suffer tribulation. We go about our business, we do what we need to do, we've got enough to eat, enough to drink, we're not rich, we're not poor. But you know what? What happens when tribulation comes? How many people will be faithful? Oh, I remember the Lord talking to me when I was a deacon. And I was a deacon, and this was the time they were blessing the oils for the year, the oil of the sick, the oil of chrism, and the oil of catechumens. And I remember that I was carrying with somebody else the oil, one of the oils. And I also remember that I was thinking, oh Lord, I don't want to fall. The oil will go all over the place. So I was very upset. I wasn't thinking of God. But there were many children there in that mass. And the Lord spoke to me in the midst of carrying these jugs of oil. He said, how many of these will be faithful during the time of tribulation? I said, Lord, I don't want to hear about tribulation. I'm worried about the oil. But I remember that. How many of these will be faithful in the time of tribulation? Okay, so let's say they were 13 years old in 1979. 13 years old. How old are they now? They're in their 40s, maybe. They're in their 50s. How many of these will be faithful? How many of these will be like the people of Smyrna? How many of these will be like the people of Nigeria? How many will be faithful? You see, when push comes to shove, it's not what we say with our mouth, it's what we do with our lives. And I'm telling you, persecution is coming to the church in America. We do not even know persecution now, but it is coming to the church in America. And how are we going to respond to persecution? Are we to be faithful unto death, that the Lord would give us the crown of life? Or will we just shrink under this persecution and just not even try to follow Jesus? Because you know what? It's too difficult. We can't get them to come to church for the most part. Imagine if there was persecution. Imagine if there was real persecution in the United States. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. Then the next one, the message to the church at Pergamos. And the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things says he who has the sharp sword, that's the word of God, with two edges. I know your works and where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is, and you hold fast my name, and you have not denied my faith, even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. We remember that these Jewish people were told that there was a... No, let me just get this straight. That there was, at this time, a man that was riding on a jackass, and he was about to go and to destroy Israel, but the jackass wouldn't move. And God used Balaam, who is the guy that's on the jackass, to know that this was not his will, that he should destroy God's people. Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So hast also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. These things I hate. Repent, or else I come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. You see, God is very firm with these churches. You know why? He has given them His Spirit. He has given them His life. He has given them everything that they need, and He expects much. To whom much is given, much is expected. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows save the one who receives it. So he's telling us that if we are faithful during tribulation, he's going to give us a white stone and a new name. A new name. You know, I believe the new name will be how we live our lives. Some will be called faithful. Some will be called hopeful. I don't know the new names of people, but the Scripture says He's going to give us a white stone, and on that white stone is going to be the new name, and we will know alone what the new name is. You see, these are the promises of God. And I tell you that all these seven churches at one time were faithful to the Lord. Now these churches, for the most part, have Muslim people running their cities. These churches have died. They've died off. You want to know why? The one who stood in the midst of the candlesticks didn't see the repentance of the churches. And you know what happens? He blows out the candle and takes away the candlestick. This is real. I'm telling you, Jesus is standing in the midst of our churches, be they Catholic or not Catholic, and He wants us to know that if we are faithful, if we have not lost our first love, that we will continue to shine like stars in this wicked and perverse generation. But if we are not faithful, he will blow out the candle. If we are faithful, we will shine like stars in this wicked and perverse generation. And I'm telling you, Lord, give us the grace to be faithful. Lord, give us the grace to be faithful. Lord, give us the grace to be faithful. Give us the grace to be hopeful. Give us the grace to love you with all of our hearts. Give us that grace, Lord. We need it, so that when you come, you will find us faithful and true, and that you will find us loving you with our first love. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time. I'm telling you about the School of the Holy Spirit between the 20th and the 26th of July. That's very soon. Creating an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move in power. If you want to sign up today for 1 day or for 4 days or for 5 days, you go to inseason.net, inseason.net, and you can sign up on the internet, inseason.net. And if you'd like to leave a donation, go to inseason.net and leave a donation. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to thy word." And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.